Coming up next, why U.S. employees feel extremely devalued. And then I'll introduce you to a CEO who lets his employees work wherever and whenever they want. Plus, we take your calls. It all starts right now. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and win in life. You can't separate the two. We want you to make more money and experience more meaning. So we got a problem, though. The numbers are really ugly. U.S. employees feel very devalued, extremely devalued. A recent Gallup poll indicated that employees' perceptions of their organization caring about their well-being is dropping. Now, it's important to get some context. It's dropping back to where it was, and I would suggest probably has been for a long time. What are we talking about? So, 2020, spring of 2020, the pandemic hits. And we all go home for a while, right? Some longer than others. And the percentage of people who felt that their organization cared about them doubled. So, in 2014, it's pretty much established at a low of 25%. Okay, in 2014, 25% of employees strongly agreed that their employer cared for them. One-fourth of people working said, yeah, I really think my organization cares about my well-being. And you can see on that graph there on the screen, those of you that are listening to the show, it's now at 24%. So it's dropped back to levels that we saw in 2014 at an all-time low. Now, 24% of American workers believe that their organization cares deeply for them, right? So that means a strong majority don't think that their organization cares about their well-being. Why was it high during the pandemic? It doubled to almost 50%. It was about 49%. Because it was all, hey, we want to protect your health, go home. And so for the first time, many people felt like, hey, my organization cares about me, but it was related to their health, not getting COVID-19. So now that that has abated and largely across the world, people are moving on, it's sinking again. And this is a really sad piece of data here. Sad, not surprising. Leaders, managers that don't care for their team, for the individuals on their team. When you don't show that you care deeply about their personal life, that you care deeply about their professional growth, they're going to answer a survey like this. Now, let's look at one of the positives for leaders and managers who are intentional to show their employees, their team members, that you care about them personally and professionally, their well-being. And well-being, by the way, is a pretty good bucket these days, right? Mental health is a bigger issue than it's ever been as it relates to the workplace and what employers are doing about it. For many, many decades, an employee's mental health was kind of something they just handled on their own. Much like, you know, if you got a doctor's visit. You get something going on in your health life. And now that's changing. The expectations, even the demands of workers is requiring that leaders step up their game. Awareness and compassion. Empathy, compassion. I know what you're going through. I feel what you're going through. I sense it. I feel awful about it. I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm not just going to commiserate, I'm going to act. This is what is needed in today's leadership environment. So what's the positive for companies that have leaders throughout that are very clear and very intentional in showing their employees that they care about them? Employees who strongly agree, who believe that their employer cares about their overall well-being, are 69% less likely to actively search for a job. So this is a moment. I brought my own sound effects today. It's a record scratch moment. It really is. Let's just call it 70% of employees say they are less likely to search for a different job in a different organization when they feel like their employer, their leader, cares about their well-being. I'm getting this question all the time. Hey, Ken, I mean, you talk to people every day that are leaving their jobs to look for the better. What would you say to leaders about retention? Care for your people. Ken, how do we keep people from leaving? Care for your people. Ken, how do we attract people? Care for your people. Here's a thought. If you take really good care of the people you have, I don't think you'll have a hard time finding the people you need. Let me say that again. That's a mic drop. We need a mic drop sound effect, Alex. Whatever happened to my sound effect board idea? I don't know, folks. I don't think they're going to give it to me. I think they're worried I'm going to abuse it. I don't know. This is a mic drop. If you take care of the people you have, you will not have a problem getting the people you need. They become recruiters for you. They start telling everybody, hey, you're not going to believe how my company cares for me, how they care for us. People go, are you serious? One of my favorite all-time movie lines. Cousin Eddie's at the Christmas dinner table, right? You remember this scene? And Clark, Uncle Clark, tells the kids, hey, I heard on the radio that they spotted Santa nearby. And Cousin Eddie, who's a complete imbecile, looks at Clark and says, you serious, Clark? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are, you know, and Clark looks at him like, come on, Eddie. That response, you serious, Clark? If you care about the people you have, they will become ambassadors for you. And they'll be telling people, you're not going to believe this. So my dog died unexpectedly. They gave me 3 days off. Or whatever, whatever. They begin to tell real stories about how you cared for them. And people are going to go, are you serious, Clark? I want to work for a place like that. Your greatest recruiting tool, leaders, are your people. Take care of the people you have. And you'll never have a hard time finding the people you need. Engagement, retention, it all comes down to a few things, leaders. Here we go. Number one, here's how you do this as a leader. New managers, new leaders, you can do this, you can win. Here we go. Number one, make sure your people and your team know that you see them and that you hear them. You see them, you're paying attention to them, and you're actively listening to them. That's the idea. We see you, I see you, I hear you. Second, hey, I'm going to help you and then actually help them. First, you got to tell them, hey, I see you, I hear you. That's active listening, and then you must react to it. I'm going to help and then deliver, follow up. And then make sure you recognize them and reward them. Recognize them privately. Recognize them in front of their peers and give them rewards. And there's one other thing, leaders, that you can do to make sure that people feel valued. I'll tell you what it is next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. One of the great tools in your tool belt for getting a better job that pays you more and actually gives you more meaning, so we're increasing our income and our impact, we love the work, is my friends at ZipRecruiter. The job search, as you know it, it's getting harder and harder in many ways because of the technology. It's lonely. It's long. You're sending out resumes. I get this question all the time. Instagram this morning, I did a live Q&A. People asking, Ken, I'm getting ghosted. I'm submitting resumes. It's hard. And our friends at ZipRecruiter get this. They know that the search is lonely and frustrating. And that's why their artificial intelligence does all the hard work for you. And they just let you know when somebody wants you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you can apply to with one click. They pitch your profile to employers who are paying them for access to talent like you. And thus, it is a free service to you. I'm not selling you anything. I'm telling you about the number one job site in the United States, ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. It's free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. All right. I teased this in our last segment. Let me give you a quick review. How can companies get better at valuing employees? Here's the reality. I know a lot of you are watching and listening. You're in a leadership position. And so this is gold. I gave you all the data on why people are leaving. It's because they feel devalued. That's one major reason. So we're diving deep into being devalued and thus feeling devalued. So I said, okay, number one, as a leader, you got to make sure that every person on your team knows that you see them, you notice them, you see that they are making a unique contribution. You tell them they're valuable. You listen to them. Actually listen. I don't mean sit there and nod your head. I mean, you listen to what's going on in their life. All right? Then you tell them you're going to help based on what you hear, and you do something about it. Then third, make sure that you reward them and recognize them publicly in these rewards. This is elixir for the soul. Every one of us, including me, we're still those little boys and little girls who just want to know from authority figures, do you notice me? Am I valuable? This is just true. You don't outgrow that. So we need to remember that. So what's the fourth and final strategy? You want to make sure that someone feels valued. Get them in the spot where they can be the most valuable. Let me say that again. Leaders, you do all those other things I said. You must do those things. But if you want to just pour gasoline on their inner fire, you got to get them in the right seat. In other words, their sweet spot. On purpose, using what they do best, their talent, to do work they love, passion, to produce results that matter to them, mission. It is the three-part methodology that I teach, and it is easy to understand. It is simple to get clear on it, but then leaders, it's going to take time. You got to get creative sometimes to move somebody to the right seat of the bus. Some of you go, Ken, what if I don't have that right seat? Then help them leave. Doesn't mean you're a jerk. Get someone in their sweet spot. You want to watch somebody's engagement just go through the roof? You want to see their value explode? They feel valuable when they wake up and they go into a job where they're going to spend three-fourths of their day or more doing something they're really good at. Duh. Doing something they enjoy. Duh. And creating results that connect to their values. Duh. I mean, I wish that I could say that what I just said there was brilliant. It's not. But we leaders don't understand this because nobody's talking about it. I am. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Come on, little movie line there for all you youngsters. A Few Good Men. I love bringing a little culture every once in a while in the midst of all the wonderful meat that I'm delivering. I've got to get a little dessert. And so if you're in your 20s and you haven't seen A Few Good Men, or in your 30s, do yourself a favor and watch A Few Good Men. This is a little extra, a little bonus content there. Didn't cost you anything at all. All right. In the News is up next. I can't wait to get to this story. Here we go. Okay. This story is from the Wall Street Journal. And boy, this got my attention. This CEO lets his employees work whenever they want, from wherever they want. Now, I want to be transparent here. Alex, when I saw this headline, my first reaction was, oh, geez. It was an old geez. Really? Really? I mean, this feels like the corporation for all snowflakes. All right, that was my first thought. I thought, oh, this is Snowflake Inc. And it's only a matter of time. We have a lot of snowflakes out there, And so we need a company for snowflakes. That's what I thought. All right. Everybody relax. Those of you that are easily offended, that's called sarcasm. I said that's what my initial thought was. Stay tuned for the rest of the story. You got to talk to snowflakes that way. They'll quit on you that quick. Oh, you just called someone a snowflake and I don't like that. I'm going to turn off your YouTube channel right now. Here we go. All right. So what is the company? It is called Automatic, and the CEO is Matt Mullenweg. I hope I'm saying that right. Now, this company is the engine behind WordPress.com. Some of you probably already know what that is. And so they are a pioneer in what is now called, and this irritates me, I'm not going to lie here, asynchronous work. That's the description. Asynchronous work. Okay, quick pause. Has anybody noticed we've gotten so complex in 2022? We got terms that nobody even knows how to say it, how to spell it. Like, what does that mean? I'm reading this and I get irritated. Asynchronous work. What does that mean? It means that workers not only have flexibility on their location, we know that is remote work, but on their hours too. So they don't have a set schedule. So asynchronous work, which I hope I never say the rest of my life, means you work in a remote location and you have your own schedule. You set your own schedule. All right. So this company has 1,876 employees in 97 countries. It's no joke. This is not some small little shop here. This is a serious company. So I got to roll here. I got to speed up. So it does create other challenges. How do you communicate when you have less or no meetings and then very few real-time discussions? But people who are for this kind of working said it leads to better hires and productivity. So here's a couple of quotes from the CEO. He says, I think hybrid work, which is a combination of remote and then in office, is going to die out. He says, a lot of companies are paying for office space and they just want to make good use of it. It's like stuffing yourself at the buffet just because you already paid for it. Now, I'll be honest with you. That stepped on my toes a little bit. I don't do buffets much, but when I do, I want to go ahead and get about three plates worth. You know what I mean? So I go to a buffet with the sans about pants on. I'm prepared. You know what I'm talking about? For those youngsters who don't know what sans about pants are, this is leisure pants, you know, basically sweatpants. Need a little expansion if you're going to the buffet. But he makes a very interesting point. Our company's driving this because, well, we've got the buildings. We're paying for the buildings. I want people there. He then goes on to say, what makes it work for us is we write very clearly. We teach writing classes to our employees because they operate from blogs. He says one of the downsides is that it might take 24 hours to get five people to read and respond to something they could do in a 30-minute meeting. So he does admit that there are some challenges, but it's working for them. He then goes on to say, I actually love being in person. I really enjoy it. Meetups are key, and we still use it at our culture. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, throw everything out. They're just saying, this works. Now, here's the interesting thing. They say it leads to high retention because it is about your results. It's not about the hours you work and punching a clock. It's about the results. And they hold these people very accountable. So yeah, you can work whatever hours you want. You can work wherever you want. But if you don't deliver the goods, you're gone. So this is an interesting model. Will it take hold? We shall see. I'll keep you posted. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Oh, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I need to make another admission. I'm having entirely too much fun. I just think the nature of, I'm very blessed. I'm on Dave Ramsey Solutions platform. Let's be very clear. I'm very blessed to play in the sandbox. I get to play it. But I think sometimes when you are, if some note or people know who you are, whatever, these people go, is this person the real deal? I'm just going to tell you something. That's up for you to decide and however you interact with it. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a blast doing this show. I'm having a blast. Grant Lowry, one of our diehards, in the YouTube chat room asked me if I surfed when I was in California. The answer is no. Number one, the Pacific Ocean is way too freaking cold this time of year. Number two, Kenny Boy twinged his lower back on Sunday before I flew out. Because, you know, I'm at that age group right now where sometimes bodily injuries happen and we don't know why. And the spring is upon us soon, even though we're having unseasonably cold weather here in Nashville. And it's time to golf. So I'm not going to do anything that would hinder the potential golf swing. So that's why, way more information than you wanted, Grant, but I aim to please. Alyssa is up next in Charlotte, North Carolina. Alyssa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Alyssa. What's going on with you?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a lot of moving pieces here.
Okay.
And I'm a tad nervous, so if I never...
Hey, you're doing great. You're doing fantastic. What's going on?
If I don't make sense, just ask me to clarify.
I will.
So basically what happened, I'll try to sum it up. I work a job currently that I really love. I'm really good at it. I love that I get to be here and innovate and use my creativity. So right now I'm an underwriting associate at a specialty insurance company. So I do underwriting. I also do claims. So we kind of already had two jobs that we handle.
Okay.
Both kind of full-time jobs. There's me and a team member. And then I took on this big project that I'm really passionate about. I'm doing really well at it. And the executives are really excited. And I'm working on getting that finished. It'll take a little while, but it's also demanding a bit of my time. So now I'm doing innovation, process improvement type work. And then my boss, me and my team member's boss just quit. He resigned. Totally understand why. But he was the director of the underwriting department. And to my knowledge, they are not backfilling his role. And so that those job duties are and responsibilities are now being offloaded to me and my team member, who I think we're already underpaid as it is. And I just don't know how to navigate this conversation now with my boss. I've never had great workplace boundaries. So if this situation has happened to me before and I just took on the job and I did what I had to do, I stepped up and I, you know.
You sound emotionally exhausted to me.
I mean, I think everyone is, but
no,
I'm
talking about you right now. I think you're about ready to break. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a smaller company, so everyone wears a lot of hats. But
I think
but
hold on a second.
Why
do you? You gave me a great explanation. Now I'm interrupting because I want to dive into what I think is really the source of your question today. Why is it that you feel like you have to be Superwoman? Tell me.
I guess when you've always had an identity, it's hard to strip that off immediately.
Why? Why do you feel like you have to please everybody and take on more and more and more and can't say no? Why? Where's that come from? Give me the short answer.
Well, I think it used to be that I didn't know how to say no. Now I've developed a lot of good boundaries, thankfully.
Good.
And I want to put that in place.
Okay.
I want to say no.
Oh, well.
If I don't get compensated, I want to navigate well how to have that conversation of, I want to help, but I want to also be compensated
of
for
course.
It. I'm tired
right.
of being
100%. 100%. But Alyssa, let me ask you this. If he walks in today and he bumps your salary, give me a number, give me a percentage just for fun, you and me. What number would make you go, woohoo, and you'd call somebody? Give me a number. 20% bump?
I have no idea.
Sure you do. Sure you do. Give me a number just for fun. Come on. I'm going somewhere with it. Give me a number that would make you feel like, wow, I'm getting paid really well for this work. Tell me. What's the number?
I think to sleep well at night and not worry, I think it'd probably be in like the 80s.
Okay, let me ask you a question now. Let's say we got the 80s. Is it going to relieve any of this current pressure that you're feeling?
No, it'll just, I don't know what it will do, actually. It'll make me feel like I'm being valued, probably.
It will help your soul for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But the bigger... So here's the deal. I'm not minimizing your desire to get paid more. I think you should be paid more, and I think you need to have that conversation. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But I want to help you understand that getting paid in the mid-80s is not going to solve the problem that I'm hearing on this phone call. I do think you feel undervalued, but I don't think that's the majority of the problem. I think it's 20% that. I think it's 80%. You're emotionally frazzled. You are trying to not drown every day. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're definitely right.
That's the problem. Listen, there is no paycheck in the world that relieves that. Have you heard of stockbrokers who make 7 figures killing themselves? Have you heard? They do it.
Yeah.
There is no amount of money that will salve the soul. And so what you've got to do is, yes, you feel undervalued, and you are, but you got to go, hey, listen, I love this gig. I want to be here, but my arms and hands are full with plates that are falling off the cupboard. I can't keep doing it. And not only that, I want to grow here. I think you got to sit down and go, hey, can we talk about my growth plan? Because I'm taking on all these jobs. I'm stepping up. But we need to figure out delineation of duties, and we need to figure out compensation and what are the most important priorities and how we can grow and how I can grow. That's the conversation.
Okay.
You're not being a jerk by bringing it up that way. You've got to go, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes if I know that there's an end result. Because here's what happened. You have the one job, and everybody in there kind of does the two things. Then you identified this really special, awesome project that you love, and so that's added to your plate, but you asked for that one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now that they've added this leader leaves, and now it's adding more to your plate. And so they already see your value. They're already excited about this new thing you're taking on, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They see your value. You have leverage. But we don't act like it. We don't speak like it. Like I gave the other caller advice. But you go in and you go, hey, listen, this exciting project is awesome. It's going to play out. It's going to do this, this, and this for the company. But with this current leader leaving, it's created way too much. And I can't do it all, and I don't want any balls to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now's the time to talk about, where do you see me in the organization? What does my trajectory look like? What does a ladder look like here? And how do we measure it, and how do we compensate for it? Do you see how that sounds totally different?
Yeah, that sounds better.
All right, that's how I want you to do it. Lay your heart on the line. Show them your heart. Tell them why you want to be there. But this new thing, you feel like a ball's going to get dropped, and you're coming to them as your leader, asking them to help you. You understand?
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, so I'm proud of you. Go ahead. I got 30 seconds. Ask me real quick.
Okay. What do I do if nothing changes, if that conversation doesn't go anywhere?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's time for you to start looking. Because if your leader won't help or can't help, you're not going to be able to last much longer doing this. That's the reality. It sucks, but that's the reality. And we got to be big boys and big girls when the reality sucks. And we got to change reality by making a better decision. Hey, I appreciate the call. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruz Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruz, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruz Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruz Show wherever you listen to podcasts.